Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Today is the second to the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany. And during the season of Epiphany, our gospel lessons have been focusing on the revelation of Jesus as God's own Son in the flesh of man, who is the only Savior of the world. 2 weeks ago, we heard Jesus proclaiming that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. God is no longer speaking through his prophets. The reign and rule of God is in the person, the work, and the words of Christ Jesus. Every time he speaks, the people are hearing from the voice of God directly. Last week, we heard Jesus teaching in the synagogue, and the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. God's Son teaches and preaches with the authority of God the Father, the one who sent him. As with the Father, the Son's word is creative and authoritative, accomplishing the very purpose and succeeding the very thing for which God sends it. The forgiveness of sins, the healing of the sick, casting out demons, and raising from the dead. Jesus' touch has the power to heal and to renew both body and soul. All his work in word and deed reveals to us a glimpse of our living in the new heavens and the new earth after Jesus ushers in, on the last day. As a result of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden, all creation and all mankind have fallen under God's curse and judgment. Every sort of corruption, suffering, and death in this world is evidence of this original sin and the fall. Sin, sickness, and death all go together. And you don't get sick and die because you sinned a specific sin, at least not in the wide sense. Yes, some sinful actions do have physical consequences. Substance abuse can cause a deterioration of your health and lead to an early death. Careless driving down the highway cause your death and the death of others. And immoral and promiscuous lifestyles bring dire health risks and destroy relationships. But God isn't necessarily telling you something when you catch a cold or get the flu or receive a life-threatening diagnosis. Now, God is indeed omnipotent. He is in control over his entire creation and the forces of evil. And just because something happens in this corrupt and fallen world, or happens to you or me, corrupt and fallen creatures, it doesn't mean that it is coming directly from the hand of God. Pain, suffering, and death are symptoms and evidence of creation and mankind's bondage to sin and the need of salvation and restoration. In Christ Jesus, the reign and rule of God is present. He has broken into his own creation, this world of sin, sickness, and the powers of the devil. And wherever Jesus goes during his earthly ministry, he goes with a purpose: to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, what God is now doing through Christ Jesus himself, with the purpose of driving back sin and all of its effects. And it all culminates with Jesus' sacrificial death on Calvary's cross and in his resurrection from the grave, where he defeats sin, death, the power of the devil, and the grave. So while sin and sickness and death still ravage their ugly effects on us poor, miserable sinners and the creation we live in, we eagerly await Christ's return on the last day, when he will raise all who have died with true faith in Christ, raise them up to eternal life with him in the new heavens and the new earth, where there is no sin, there is no sickness and sorrow, there is no death, just a restoration and renewal of all of God's creation and for the liberty of his children. So in today's gospel text, Jesus leaves the synagogue where he was teaching last week in our text, and he enters the house of Simon and Andrew along with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law is sick with a fever, and they tell Jesus about her. So it's instructive. The woman does not come to Jesus, but Jesus comes to the woman. And he doesn't say a word to her, but takes her by the hand and lifts her up, and the fever flees. Jesus grants her healing and restoration. The woman doesn't require recuperation and rest from her illness like you and I would. Jesus has restored her. She begins to serve Jesus and his disciples. She's serving God and neighbor in her vocation. She's healed. So she wants to give her own little sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise. She offers herself as a living sacrifice, serving in her vocation, just as God calls you and me to serve and love our neighbor in our vocation. And then Mark records that about sundown, the whole city was gathered together at the door, and Jesus healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Again, the reign and rule of God is present in the work, in the person, the work, and the word of Jesus. Everyone who comes is healed. Those with demons, the demons are cast out, and the demons are silenced. As we heard last week, the demons know who Jesus is. They know why he has come to earth. But at this point, it was too early in Jesus' ministry for his identity as the true Messiah to be made known. While many people were looking for the Messiah, at this point, they are looking for a political savior, not a savior from sin, death, and the devil. Mark tells us that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed from them and went out to a desolate place and prayed. And this is also very instructive for sinful humans, such as you and me. The Son of God is praying to God the Father. Communication with the Father is important, even to the Son. It's a priority. Jesus is praying because he is man in the flesh. And while he is still God and has been anointed by the Holy Spirit in his baptism, he wanted to stay in close communication with the Father. Now, aside from his high priestly prayer that he prays on the night when he was betrayed, Scripture doesn't give us the specifics of Jesus' prayers. But it's likely that his prayers were for strength against temptation and for guidance and strength to carry out the mission of his Father's will. So if prayer is important for Jesus, how much more important is it for you and me, to go to the Father in prayer in the name of the Son? And while Jesus is out there praying, Simon and the others come out and find him, and they say, "Hey, everybody's looking for you. Back at the house, they're all looking for you." They're looking for Jesus because of his miracles and his exorcisms. They're looking for the healing and renewal of their bodies, but not of their souls. And that's why St. Mark records Jesus' words saying, "Let's go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And that's what Jesus did. He left town throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out their demons. Jesus left all the sick and the demon-possessed behind in Capernaum. His miraculous healings, his casting out of demons, his feeding of the thousands, and his raising of the dead are not the main purpose of Christ taking on the flesh of man and entering creation. No, his purpose was to preach, and to preach the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God, the good news which has the power to heal unto eternal life, healing of renewal of both body and soul. And what is the good news of the kingdom? Well, that is that the reign and rule of Christ, of the reign and rule of God, is present in the person, work, and the word of Christ. Christ and him crucified for sinners such as you and me. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. And you're not ransomed with perishable things such as gold and silver, but you are ransomed with Jesus' suffering and his precious holy blood, the spotless Lamb of God's blood who takes away the sin of the world. Now, despite the woman's healing, Simon's mother-in-law would indeed get sick again. Yes, she would get sick again probably a time or two or a dozen times. But sooner or later, she was going to die. So too with all those who were healed of their various diseases and whose demons were cast out. They all lived to die another day. They would get sick again, because in these instances, Jesus healed them in body only, to die another day. And you and I are much like the people in the crowds in our text, because our lives revolve around our bodies and our health. When your body and health are threatened with sickness and suffering, where's the first place you run? Do you run to Jesus first thing? Well, maybe you do, but more likely than not, you run to the doctor, or you run to the doctor and then pray to Jesus. And when you pray, what is it that you pray for? Well, I can confess what I pray for, shamefully. I pray, Lord God, take this pain and suffering away. Restore me to good health again so I can get back to a normal life. And oh, by the way, God, grant me a long, healthy, and happy life. You see, your body and mine, our health, have become our idols. We idolize our health and our bodies, and for that we must repent. When the body goes wrong, everything goes wrong. When the body hurts, the whole person hurts. And when the body is weak, the soul becomes distressed. And when the body fails, faith wavers and is weak. You and I have attached our well-being and our happiness and joy, our quality of life, to our bodies so much that when the body needs treatment, we neglect our souls. Oops, I thought it disappeared. Sorry. So one thing is for sure. One day, all of your idols and mine, they will disappear. Your health and your wealth, your good looks, popularity, are not going to be able to save you every day and always. Because unless Jesus returns really soon, the day will come when you find yourself lying on your deathbed alone. All that you have, all that you are, will not be able to save you. All your worldly possessions and power will fail. No one will come to your rescue. Only Christ Jesus has the power and the ability to renew both body and soul in heaven. In our text, everyone's looking for Jesus, but they're looking for Jesus for the wrong reason. They're looking to heal their bodies, but not heal their souls. And how does Jesus respond? He leaves town. He's not going to force faith and salvation on no one. He moves on. He has come to preach and teach because his preaching and teaching is good for the soul. And what's good for the soul is ultimately good for the body. Because just as sure as Jesus came to Simon's mother-in-law, he comes to you. And he comes to you today with healing in this very place. He promises to come to you where he promises to be, and that is wherever his gospel is proclaimed in its purity, and his sacraments are administered according to his institution. He's always found right here in word and sacrament. He's always found where two or three are gathered in his name. God has adopted you and saved you in baptismal waters. It was by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on you richly through Jesus Christ, your Savior, so that being justified by his grace, you might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And as an heir, you are the heir of gifts. You are an heir of all the gifts that Christ won for you on Calvary's cross, namely forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation. So even this day, while all creation is groaning to be set free from the bondage and corruption, and while sickness, sin, and threats of the devil continue to do their worst to you in your body, the sufferings of this world are nothing to compare with the glory that will be revealed on the last day when Christ returns. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, though your outer self is wasting away, your inner self is being renewed day by day by Christ in his word and sacrament. The afflictions you face in this world are but momentary, and they're preparing you for eternal weight of glory that is beyond all comparison when your perishable body puts on the imperishable, the mortal puts on immortality, and that is when Christ returns and death is swallowed up in victory. And to that we say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.